for the kids and you. Stony Island. That was a remix of the intro. I'm Open Mike Eagle. This is Secret Skin. And I'm tired. But you don't need to know that. That's not a selling point for the podcast. Something like that might make somebody leave. This is now a production meeting that I'm having in my mind that you get to listen to. But this is Secret Skin, and this is what goes on inside the machinations in my mind, just like the image on the podcast label tells you to. I'm Open Mike Eagle, and this episode of Secret Skin, I am rerunning an episode I did with Project Blow legendary MC Tumex. Rerunning from 2015, 7 years ago. I've been having such a good time talking to Blowed OGs. Just taped another interview today with a Blowed OG that's going to be out next week. But this one is Tumex. Shout out to Tumex. He's offering a lot of insight in how an independent underground MC can transform into a hustler. For both good and for bad, I think it's a pretty good conversation. Tour dates. Me rapping live like I've been doing. Me and Video Dave in Koreatown. Oddity did a show in LA and a show in Santa Ana last week, and those were awesome. This week, we are in Boston, Philly, New York, and DC. And then next week, we're in Houston, Austin, and Dallas. There's going to be some time travel in between those two regions of the country. Time travel via aeroplane. We got limited edition merch too, just in time for the holidays. We got two exclusive limited edition hoodie designs. This is a 1996 Stereohead hoodie and a Modern Art hoodie. You can get those at Merch Engine. Look up Merch Engine, Open Mike Eagle, and all of this fine stuff will pop up. Those two things will be available until December 2nd. Because after that, we can't be sure you'll get them before Xmas time. You know us. We love Xmas time. I'm Open Mike Eagle. This is Secret Skin, part of the Stony Island Audio Network. If you're in one of the places in the country that we're going, I'll see you soon. And remember the secret word changed. The secret word was pamplemousse. But I got tired of people saying it on the internet when it's supposed to be a secret. So the new word is pumpernickel. Pull me aside if you see me and say the secret word, and I will teach you the secret handshake for Secret Skin. Speaking of secrets, there's a secret club on Patreon, patreon.com/openmikeeagle. There's a secret Discord inside the secret club. Secrets on secrets on secrets on secrets. This is Secret Skin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
By the way, is that your Ford Festiva outside?
You're the Fiesta.
Man, Fiesta. Yeah, Festiva, man. Festivus. That shit is
fucking Festivus for the rest of us.
Festivus for the rest of us. Yeah, that shit was, yeah, that shit's pretty flossy out there, man.
Yeah, you know my little tiny car, man. Yeah,
dude,
man. Keep
I'm
it noble.
I'm glad to see you can't you cash that Hannibal check. Hannibal Burris check. And put that shit straight on.
Went immediately to a 2011.
Put straight in the car wash
that I can't lean my seat back in.
Man, it's all good, man. It's all good.
Yeah, no, it is all good, man. We're chilling at your house, right? We're here with Tumex, and
for sure,
chilling at Tumex's pad, man.
Man, I hate being accused. I begin to kill Hefner cause I'm better than a photo shoot with her. Got it with no effort and left her burn, making effort, G. I'm not concerned about the rumors of a herb and other lesser G's, because we all have our moments. Bug naked chicks passed out, wondering if you should really bone it. Make a mistake, make a baby, maybe put myself in a position, making me look shady in front of good looking ladies. But we both know looks can be deceiving.
I want to know what it's been like for you to see the way that people consume music change so much in the time since you've been making it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, going to my early experiences of being a hardcore consumer, like at the swap meet, you know what I mean? Right. Like, I grew up in Mid-City, California, so there's a Mid-City swap meet. And so that whole pre-riot, pre the Rodney King riots, I mean, it was like, I had credit at the swap meet. Wow. I bought so much because I had a job at 13, 14 at a video store. So I had like little money. So, dude, I had credit with the Koreans. Mm. Like, I literally was at the swap meet with credit. Like, I was like, and between like the Source magazine and stuff like that, I read that religiously. I really would be like, you know, if the Source said, you know, Organized Confusion comes out October 30th. Then I would be at the swap meet like, you got this yet? And they'd be like, no, when it comes out, we'll order it for you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was on it, it. I mean, this Tuesday was a time when this, you know, that's an era where the internet wasn't cracking. So if you even heard of a song, if the radio didn't play the song, you were never going to hear it. If MTV, if there wasn't a video for it. So, you know, that whole era was like fiending of music, then the buying of music, the reading of it, you know, like, I come from a time when the biggest thing to do is I would go to the record store for hours.
Right, me too.
And just read the back
yep.
of albums. And like, you know, I started learning like Tom Coyne mastered this or Howie Weinberg. Thing. Howie Wine, you know, this and that and all that.
Dude, what is his name? He used to master all the Tribe stuff. Something Power. Bob Power used to mix.
Yeah.
And then Tim Latham.
Yep.
Used to master this stuff.
All that.
Yeah.
And that all meant something to a, or you know, in the back when you read the shout outs, it'd be like, I had no idea KRS-One was down with, you know, so and so and so and so because he's giving them shout outs. Right. You know what I mean? And you'd actually care like that. It was so important to like back then, like you read an album like a book. I mean, nowadays, I really get mad at people that they don't even play full songs. That's the number one irkiness thing on earth.
Play full songs. Now, you mean when they're rapping live? Or?
That too, and when if I'm ever in a car with people.
Oh.
They be like, let me play this shit. It could even be their shit, or it could be something that they're playing. Like, let me play this shit. And so they're playing something, and like, whether I like it or not, I'm listening to it, and then the thought's like half done, and they like move to the next jam. Then they move to the. I'm like, let this shit play. Mm. Like, I don't understand this microwave one verse shit. You know what I mean? Where you hear one verse of something, and I remember being on tour with the GZA. I was lucky enough to go on tour with him for 4 dates, and he would be doing like his greatest hits, and he would do like a verse from a song and then move on to the next, and I would be like in the van with him like, man, like as a fan, I want to hear the whole shit, right, fool. Like right. That ending part after the second verse, that sample, that's the dopest part, you know, like right. but we just, you know, I think that just, you know, from being, I'm 42 now, so from being seeing hip hop from 80 to now, or seeing music in general, it's so microwave. Like rap is so like, rap is cool, but it has a weird stigma because everybody raps.
Right.
So rap has no importance. There's like it's like, eh, it's like fucking, it's like anybody can rap.
I remember when I first really got started, and I say this is maybe like 5-6 years ago, maybe 7, you know, when I was doing stuff with Thirsty Fish in the group.
Right.
I remember, you know, the little knowledge that we had of how things went, you know, how the little labels were around town, you know, I remember being of the mindset that like, man, one day something is going to happen. It's going to change everything. And all of a sudden, you know, we'll be on and everything will be easier after that because we'll be known or whatever. Now, I understand now that thought is insane. Right.
Because everybody's, it's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Everybody's famous.
Right.
Everybody's connected to something famous.
But the question I was going to ask you is, has that always been a crazy thought? Did it used to be that it actually was a thing that could come along and change things?
It used to be a thing that could really happen because back then the concept of a co-signing or that thing was big.
Right.
And the thing is that it could happen back then because I don't know if it's not because everybody's doing it, but it was there was a little more ethics involved. Mm-hmm. And there was just a little more ethics. I mean, there was a time when you know, when for you to come out, you know, you really kind of had to be doing something good. You know what I'm saying? There was there's always been bins full of shitty CDs,
right,
and shitty records. I mean, there's always been shitty everything. But back then there was a code of ethics.
I don't know what documentary I was watching, but Rocker from Dilated was talking, and he was saying that we got some fame, but it made a bunch of other people rich. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like, yeah, they had to deal with the public perception and all of the people and the consumers, while somebody else got all the resources.
Yeah. You know. Well, yeah. I mean? No, for sure. I mean, you know, a good example is, have you ever seen that documentary Dig?
I don't think I have seen that.
Oh man, it's a documentary about two bands, the Dandy Warhols and the Brian Jonestown Massacre.
Well, I heard about it, but I never saw it.
And it takes place over like 7 or 8 years, just to give you a quick thing about it. It's like the Dandy Warhols were like a band that they were kind of poppy, and they weren't really that super dope. They were not that dope, but they were all friends, and they fucking liked each other, and they tried hard, and they fucking, and that stroke of luck. They got signed to a big deal, paid all this money for a video, were about to get dropped, and last second, just as they're about to get dropped and their career is about to fall off, their song's a hit in Greece or something. So boom, they go to Europe, boom, they start blowing up, boom, and then it all happens.
Yeah.
Boom, they're fucking paid, and then they take their money and they buy a warehouse. So now they've got a venue with a fucking rehearsal. They know how, they like made themselves like a corporation and successful.
Wow.
And then the other side of the coin is they're way more talented homies. They're way more organic.
They all knew each other?
Yeah, they're two bands that were best friends, mm-hmm, intertwining members, friends, and everything. The Brian Jonestown Massacre, you could say their music is brilliant and their shit is the real deal and they're the shit is real, but they're just self-destruction, fools on heroin, mental issues, fucking, they're always fighting. Every time they play for a, they've had like 5 record deals, and every time they go play for the whole industry, there's like 10 labels trying to sign them, and they start fucking hitting each other in the head with their guitars. You know what I mean? Like drug, fool starts wanting drug. You know, the dude's so drugged out, he fucking asks for a gang of money. They give him money. He makes like 3 albums instead of 1. You know, there's like all this, like, starts making a diss record on his homies, and you just see the path of two bands, and you see one that not necessarily is the most talented band,
mm-hmm,
but they stick together. And even though they were a little more than marginally talented, but they made it through luck. They got the industry breaks and everything.
Right.
Then you see these raw, real motherfucking tortured souls, real dope artists that the kind of shit I kind of like. And it's like, well, they can't. I mean, the documentary ends with homie in a police car, you know, because, wow, he kicked a fan in the head, you know, at the Knitting Factory. And it's just like over and over, dysfunction.
But like, since you are super talented and you know some of the game, like, which side do you see yourself being closer to? You know what I mean?
I mean, my heart of hearts, I'm closer to the art.
My name is Tumex. I know in your eyes I'm not a star, but chances are Kendrick Lamar plays my music in his car. And even if he doesn't, this LA underground influence is permanently buzzed through the hearts and the mind of this world as a whole. Even if they want to pretend and act like they don't know, in the last decade or so, some of the biggest hip-hop groups on the globe have taken for Project Load. I don't really get the time to expose all the
at the end of the day, we spoiled all the children. I feel like, and this is only a retrospect at 42, I feel like if I wouldn't have made so many mistakes in the past, I probably would be living as a critical artist,
mm-hmm,
and I probably would have enough saved up.
What's a critical artist? What,
like,
do you mean by,
like,
that?
Like someone that really just constantly really does care about progression, mm, care about art, care about the craft, cares about technique, and doesn't really, like, ultimately at the end of the day, care about the sales and all that stuff.
I see.
But because of my, like, let's say me personally, because of my just kind of rolling for 20 years and not always taking advantage of all my opportunities, and now being, finding myself as a 40-year-old person, like, still doing it and being like, I want to continue to live like this. Another part of me came out in the last 10 years, which is the hustler.
I see.
The hustler aspect of me. I've always been a cold kind of like hustler, dude. Like, I've always been on that, like, trying to make a crack, you know, gambler mentality.
Right.
Always been on that vibe. So I think the last 10 years, I was like, oh, I can, people paying me for verses? Well, shit, I'm going to do 20 verses instead of 2. You know what I mean? And it's always been a detriment. But at the same time, it's almost like my hustle ethic turned into me just learning how to crank out art. almost on some Andy Warhol shit.
Right. You turn yourself into a factory to take advantage of the demand.
And it's not necessarily for the best, but at the same time, self-preservation, man. It's a trip to lose it all. You know, it's like, I have this concept, you know, where I'm like, I lose it all, wake up in the morning and reboot it. Mm. It's like to lose it all and then wake up every morning like, damn, now how am I going to get by? And then to use art, use social media to be like, my talent is such that, fuck it, today I'm generating $250 and I just smash. Who wants to do a song? Who wants to throw a show? I'll fucking kill your backyard. I'll fucking do this. And then someone's like, he is really good. How much you doing it for? And then I'm going to undervalue myself. And then I undervalue myself. I only undervalue myself because, to be honest with you, it's what brings the result.
When you say lose it all, like, what did you lose?
What I mean by lose it all, I mean that I've hit a point where I constantly literally lose it all. Like, I wake up with, like, and I don't mean I wake up with no prospects, but I'm somebody, I have a gambler mentality. I'll throw a show, lose $5,000, and wake up with $0.
I see what you mean.
I wake up with, like, I have a gambler's mentality. So to me, you know, I'm always down to make something happen. So it's like, I can wake up and be like, oh man, like, I need to get to the, like, damn, I, like, that didn't work. You know, like, failure, I know, you know. So it's like, okay, let me, but then that's where my work ethic came from. Because it was like, I would wake up like, damn, I don't have shit. I need $500 by 8 p.m.
Right.
And I'd be like, internet.
Got to make it happen.
And then boom, now I'm in a studio in Norwalk making a song with a kid I never met. Now I'm like, you know, sending PayPals. People sending me PayPals. Now I'm going to go play in Fresno. And maybe I'm only getting $400, you know. And it's, you know what I mean? And I'm like, really, like, mathematically, it's not really super beneficial, but I'm going to take it.
Right.
So for me, man, I've lived in that dichotomy for a hot second. And only now am I finally kind of growing up and dealing with big business, because now I realize that this brand that I have been cultivating, not even knowing, I didn't know I was really cultivating a brand. And now I realize, like, damn, I'm a brand that people mm-hmm. like, and it works. And, like, people have, I'm trying to give people experiences.
Are you like comfortable letting fans know, like, exactly what the day-to-day life is for you, or do you feel like you have to put on some air, put some distance between it?
I have no choice. I do not, you know, the other day something made me real sad. Something made me really sad, and I was out there promoting and everybody was like, are you okay? I'm not good at hiding shit. I will talk to a stranger and be like, because isn't that fucking, and that's what happened. Like, I'm not open book.
Right.
So to me, it's just part of the way I am. I'm really an open book, and I don't really have any, like, I don't have any time to be fake ass with people, or I don't have any time to not be who I am.
Right.
So it's like, I don't really have the time to, I mean, there's that percentage of fans that you make that mistake. Look, there's not a mistake in connecting with your fans, but dude, there's a small percentage of fans that are mentally unstable.
Absolutely.
It's just the way it is. Oh, well, you want to give them props because they love your shit so much, and you're like, damn, this dude really, like, I go back to way, you know. I remember going up to Prince Paul from De La and be like, yo, I love that production you did on Justin Warfield, because I want to be like a real fan. Yo, I know you did, you know. One time I annoyed the shit out of a large professor, because I was like, yo, you did that beat for the Don, like some dude that was whack, and he was like, you know, like, you're that right. So it's like, I geek out on people, and when they geek out on me, I can appreciate it, but then they're like psychotic.
There's that that merch booth kind of countdown thing where you're like, you want to appreciate every little positive word anybody gives you, because you really do appreciate it, and that encouragement, it means something to you. But then there's this line, like, oh, if I don't redirect this person, I'm going to be here talking to them all night.
Oh, dude. It happens to me when I travel. I get into certain towns and somebody, because I smoked a joint or went to eat once with somebody.
You made it real personal with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's people in different towns that when I get there, they're like, expect me to be the only person that they kick it with.
Right.
And they're like, we brought you a pizza, you know, you know, or some shit, and then we smoked you out, and then I'm like, hell yeah, what's up, you know, kick it with them, and then, you know, and I'll be like, all right, well, I'm going to go do that. And they're like mad that you're not rolling with them every second. And, you know, just be, you know what it is, man. Fame, once again, with this fame thing. And dude, take it from me, because I'm a name dropper. I drop names all day long. I just like incessantly name drop. Fame is, it's so easy. Someone says something, you're like, oh, that's my boy.
Right, you
that's
connect. You can, your life actually connects with it.
Macklemore slept on this couch. You know, like, it's, you know, I could say, you know, you say some weird shit like that. It's like, so it's like, that kind of shit is like, but Macklemore doesn't have my number. He's not my homie. I just know him. If I could have met him three times and he slept on this couch one day, it doesn't mean he's my homie.
Right.
So it's like, so you know, respect to him. But I'm just saying, it's like, that's the thing. You know, fame is so like, underground rap is so accessible that it's almost to a detriment, because they don't feel like we're special. I'm starting to understand. There, homies like respect to the Grouch and shit like that. The Grouch used to tell me like, I want to go out there and kick it with the fans, but I'm gonna stay back here backstage, because if you just kick it with them all the time, they don't feel like you don't feel special to them.
Right.
And it's true, because I'm that dude, and a lot of people, my rhymes are, my music is dope, but it's a lot of people don't feel like I'm special because I'm always there.
You know, that's the thing about the part of the dopeness of your music is how open book you are, though. So it would be really it would be weird if you were that open and like your heart was on your sleeve and your music, and then in person you were like weird. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like that would be confusing too.
It really takes your time though, man. It's like I start to understand that I can understand that saying yes to everybody will drive you into the ground. And then at the end of the day, sometimes you don't get to do the things that you need to do.
Right.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Shake a lot of hands, but I don't have a lot of friends. I'm only in demand because of these melodic trends. Life tends to be erratic. One day you're the heroine, the next day you're a heroin addict. I know what it's like, listening to television static. Alone at home, 5 in the morning, I'm panic. Sometimes I feel like my heartline's been robbed, cause girls look at me like a part-time job. I might as well go deaf if death is certain.
So you're gonna keep making stuff, but like, what do you think would have to happen business wise to like make it make more sense for you to put more money, like more energy, I guess, into the music side?
I mean, what I'm doing now.
Or rely on it more. Yeah.
Well, you know what? What I'm gonna do now, right now, is I'm actually keep joking about growing up. I'm actually about to take a big step, and I'm actually about to stop playing shows for a while, which I need to, because I play every fucking weekend, and it's annoying the shit out of the city. But I'm gonna stop playing for a while, and I'm actually gonna work on a full-fledged record with my homie Sick Jackin. From
Word.
Me and Sick Jackin are making a new group. It's called Pyramid City, and we're just gonna work on some music. But besides working on it, like, we're gonna try to make a real dope record, of course. But man, we've got some crazy little plans, man. Like, we're stepping into the future with like light shows and shit like that, or like trying to create an experience. And you know what? Like, so many times my gimmick was my rhymes. My gimmick was that I was dope.
Right.
And I was always very like, there is no gimmick. It's just me being fresh. You like me, you don't. But it's like, honestly, man, in 2015, 2016 and beyond, after being in the band with Ikey Owens, rest in peace, Luke Daggers, I definitely understand now the beauty of a full music experience.
Right.
Because I think just standing there rapping, and it's like there's a beauty to it, a la Saul Williams.
Right.
But I think with the billions of rappers out there, it loses its merit, because they don't get it. People aren't just enveloped in your lyrics.
Right.
They just see you standing there spitting, and they're like, I see this every day.
Right.
My cousin, everybody's rapping. And so it's like, I think I'm going to try to create a project with a little more of an experience to it. So I'm gonna try that, and at the same time, just I'm concentrating on existing. But art wise and poetry wise, man, I feel like my poetry and my art is at a level that it never was before, because I read and I just, you know, I think all of the shit out here is so simplistic and garbagey that it just I never wanted to fall into that trap, man. I always just, I hate dumbing shit down.
Right.
And it's been to a detriment to myself, but I just hate dumbing my shit down. I, as a Mexican guy, I talk to a lot of Latino artists or Latino people, and they assume when they listen to my music, they're just not saying that they're not on my wavelength, but they just, what they expect and what they get is different. So they're
expect something like what people call Chicano rap, like that kind of expectation?
A little bit more than that, but they expect things, you know, just rap only about smoking weed or smoking, you know, being like good timey shit. Right. And I'm over here, you know, talking in code. In an animal or in a mammal, the mammal with the stamina, the snapshot like a camera of Mexican descendants holding camera to Mexican single flow, then flow, then a dana, panorama, bandana, alien antenna under alias, nurture the next Mandela. Mexican mariposa, música maravillosa, como mi gente, no hay otra, pásame la mota, súbete a mi moto, nosotros somos nosotros, no somos como los otros, both languages are fake as fuck, entangled as the music stuck,
entangled
as the music. Yeah, you know what I mean, about my personal, right, my personal inner demons, and my, you know, I'm already like super introspective, like I'm listening to Elliott Smith and like the Negro Problem, and mm-hmm, I listen to shit that like, I was listening to MF Grimm right now, and it's just like he said, "God moves like a snail, so death prevails." Mm. You know what I mean? Like, just I just love. I mean, I'm just like, I'm sorry. I just need deep. I need monumental words. I want words to hit me like Inception and shit.
How are you listening to stuff these days? Like, what's the main way in which you listen?
I mean, every now and then I still go to Amoebas and buy shit.
So, buying
CDs. I'm just buying records. But I'm usually buying old shit.
Right, me too.
Things from my past, it's hard for me to buy. Or if I really find a band, like the Negro Problem. Have you heard the Negro Problem?
I have not heard them.
My God, dude.
What era are they from? Are they new?
Dude, no, man. These dudes are from, they're a band. They put out about 5 or 6 records, maybe 6 or 7 records. And they're from like Lamar Park. But they're from like 2003, 2006, 2000, like that era.
Okay.
It's like this dude, Stu, and the two other people, this girl. And dude, homie's lyrics are just, they have a play, it's called Passing Strange, and it came out in 2009, it was directed by Spike Lee, and one day, randomly on Showtime, I watched it, and it was like a modern day urban Pink Floyd thing. It was okay. Amazing. And dude, I got into the music. Me and my sister bought one CD, and then every time I go to Amoebas, anything that's there, I buy it.
Okay.
And every CD is just, it's just like, the music's dope. Sometimes they sound kind of like Beatle-esque. But it's like, homie's lyrics are just like, every lyric is like, you know, dude, it's like, every lyric is like a punch to the face. So it's like, I'm really into that. You know, I like the Eels. I like good lyricism. You know, I like Elton John. I like, you know, shit like that. I like Elvis Costello. You know what I mean?
Do you get down with, like,
they might be giants.
Oh, you know, that's where we connect.
Yeah, for sure.
But what do you think? You know, because you look at the landscape, right? You had, you know, Rhymesayers is still happening.
Right.
You know, Strange Famous in a sense is still happening.
Strange music.
Yeah. There's been places of people who've been able to come together and make an indie label happen. I wonder, what is it about LA where it just cannot seem to like stay around?
I know the answer, homie. The answer, my opinion is that we have this I'm next mentality. Hmm. LA is like, we are all our own universe. We are all ready to go. I've been in many a crew from the afterlife and the Project Blowed into the even all my crews. And the thing with us is that we are all universes unto ourselves, and we all feel like we're ready now. Mm. And the concept of let's all get behind the homie for a year, we have this sense of urgency
and a sense of, I guess, self-serving sense too, in a sense, like, you know, yeah, we all want to be doing it at the same time.
Yeah. And you know what, at moments like with the Blowed and with you know, your clicks in the Blowed, my clicks in the Blowed, yeah, and the clicks in LA, and dude, look at Anacon and all these, like, you know, what was LP label? Def Jux.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, there was flowing movements for years, half a decade at a time. And it's like with LA, man, it's like LA is the home of the breakup group.
Yeah.
LA is the home of, why aren't they working together?
Right.
Why aren't they? And it's like, maybe because we come from a place where being famous is like, it's so, it's passe, but it's almost expected. Hmm. It's almost like, I'm from LA, homie. Like, I gotta do, you know, like most people, I know rappers from out of town that like even last week at the low end, the homie that was with Soul, and he was so happy to be like, I got to play an LA show.
Right.
And to us, it's passe. And but, so it's like, we're like, you know, we're just like, yeah, we LA, homie, we could do this and this and that. And it's like, I think that during those formative late 90s and early 2000s, I think it was just hard for LA to stick together because we all wanted to do our own thing.
Right.
Dude, the crowds in LA, I think this was the first time I seen it. That was, LA was the birth of the crowd being all MCs.
Right. Yo, I'd never seen nothing like that before I got here. That shit, it messed my head up.
Yeah, and it was like, no, yeah, right? You came from Chicago. And it was like, everybody in the crowd is, they're not necessarily enjoying what you're doing. They're actually here for two reasons. They're really here to politic, and they're really just here to see who's the person that can get them to be on stage next.
Right.
And if they, and it, with me, it was like, they either wanted to click up with me because I'm a key to getting them on. And if I didn't click up with them, then they were just trying to be like, how can I be the next? So I think that's how I honestly feel. And that's, and I'm going to say that I've purposely, as humble as I try to be, I'm in that same boat. I've always been like, I could just do this. Cholo and Cinco, me and him are fighting. I could just do this myself. Right. All the visionaries, that shit's not paying enough and I can't really sustain a living. I'm going to go do this shit myself. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'll just go make a record with, you know what I mean? And it's like, perhaps in retrospect, it's to my detriment, but I definitely feel that. I remember all the posse. Dude, it's that pass the mic, fool. Like, give me the mic. Like, you ain't even done with your verse. And somebody's yanking at the mic, fool. Cause you're not even thinking about, like, who you're rapping. And then the next three fools are plotting. Like, all right, I'm going to let him go. But fuck this, I'm next.
Right.
And, dude, that's, we were raised like wolves.
Making songs with our heroes. Because money doesn't matter. Money's symbol. Martyrs will be here tomorrow. Whether or not we get to bump in your carro. Buy my new CD, call me Yes, my home model. Swallow your pride in the city where hollow pits and bodies collide. Get live if you're ready to party tonight. Visionary steadily guarding the light. If you started behind us, we're behind you, homie. You'll be fine. I define my mind as being suffering.
Now, see, I get that in terms of us as rappers, as artists. But as businessmen, and a lot of times the business guys weren't the same. Like, and that was the blessing. Yeah. Like, it wasn't usually the rapper dude trying to. It was usually somebody who was interested, saw all of this talent, saw all these consumers, and was like, let me try to make this business.
Right.
And for some reason in L.A., on the indie level, it could never last longer than four or 5 years.
Dude, it's true, man. And I gave you my version of an answer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean. Is it maybe that, you know, I think the only other thing is that, you know, this is my other theory is, you know, you're talking, LA is 60 to 70 years of people that were all either here now, the children or the grandchildren of people that want
to
make it.
Somebody who moved here to do it.
Everybody. And it's a beautiful thing.
Right.
But everybody's an artist.
Right.
Everybody's like, oh, my dad was an actor. Oh, my dad was this. Or my dad used to make music. My mom is a dancer. This and that. So everybody, it's a trip. You know how there was always that joke on TV that you were always a actress, but you were a waitress?
Right.
Right? That was always been that. I'm a waiter, but, you know, I'm really an actor, but right now I'm waiting tables. It's like, that shit is so real.
It's very real.
It's like, realist. Like, we could go right now. In fact, I wish you were mobile. We could go right now to a Ralph's, and I bet you within 3-4 aisles of the person that's either checking you out or bagging your groceries, one of them sings.
Right.
Really good, though.
Super dope.
Really good. Not even just singing to sing.
Right.
You know, you go to church, people sing. You go here, and my cousin's making beats. Dude, I in the last 5 to 6 years, it's really, sometimes the beats are missing heart, but dude, I in the last 5 or 6 years, have seen at least 15 to 25 kids under the age of 20 that got beats. And it's like, maybe it lacks soul, but dude, technical wise, you know, I've dated girls that are making beats. and that are like making beats that sound like Madlib, you right. know what I mean? Right. And it's like, you know, girl, I meet a girl and she's singing like Erykah Badu, and I mean really talented,
yeah.
You know, and so we come from a talented stock out here, you know what I mean? There's other artists, like let's say Tech N9ne is coming out of Kansas City, where there was not a lot of people coming out of there.
Right.
So he can rally the whole state.
Exactly. He can get everybody on yeah. his team.
You know what I'm yeah. saying? Whereas we are like, you know, I've sat at places where everybody represents and everybody's dope. And so how can everybody make it?
Mm-hmm.
We can't. Everybody can't make it. Everybody's not going to be a star.
But, you know, it kind of, to me, it goes back to what you were saying earlier. We get right back into that thing with the raw talented people who won't budge and the somewhat right. talented people who want to play the game. And to me, L.A. is just a constant lesson in that, like, everybody out here is talented. Everybody out here is special on that level. Yeah. But, like, the people who have even just a little bit of, like, organizational or business sense, they can sure, go so man. Much farther. They can dude, take advantage of so many more
for
opportunities.
Sure, dude. You know? I mean, I've seen America loves marginally talented people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, fuck, like, you know what I mean? So it's, I mean, it gets to a point where, like, sometimes when you're really talented, it's really intimidating.
Yeah.
Because your movement is like, you know, it's beautiful to me because I like being around talented people, but as far as, yeah, who's going to... Okay, let's say you got, you know... I was listening to Anderson .Paak, yeah. right? He's dope.
It's incredible.
Yeah, super dope. And he was talking about how he's from Oxnard. And he's like, dude, L.A., everybody's on one in L.A. And I was like, hell yeah. he's from out of town and he could see that shit.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, dude, because everybody here is literally like... They're not delusional, but everybody here is... We're like... 1,000 actors going up for the same part.
Yeah.
And so how do you pick? How do you pick when like 1,000 people audition and fuck it, 600 of them are fresh?
Mm-hmm.
So then what's the next level? Is it just looks? Is it just...
I'll tell you one thing. You know? They dismissed the 250 of them that don't know how to talk to people the right way.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, that's a whole nother level. Like, I mean, I think they blow up a lot of people that don't know how to do their math right.
Yeah,
so they're
for
just
sure.
like taking advantage of motherfuckers.
For
you know
sure,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll go with that too. You know I mean? I think what I'm saying though is like, it's very easy to mess up opportunities when people just kind of don't have no way of they can't deal with people, like they can't yeah. be oh, nice yeah. or they oh, can't yeah. you know oh, yeah. be personable in any kind of way.
No,
you know what I mean.
I mean, it's a dilemma that I wish I had an answer to. I'll put it to you that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because LA is overflowing with yeah. talent. Overflowing. I mean,
absolutely.
Motherfuckers just start kicking verses are amazing. Fools are relevant. Fools got relevant music, art. I mean, drawings, dancing, everything you can think
comedy.
Of. Production,
yeah.
comedy. Yeah, dude. Like, so what do you... But see, society created this, like... It's like recording engineering school, right? It's like, you know what I mean? There's like every year, 35,000 people graduate with recording engineering degrees. So you're saying that every year 35,000 dudes are going to start making a living as recording engineers?
Not
Hell
at all.
No.
Not
There's
at
not
all.
Enough business for that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, police is the only school that does that. You can right. graduate 50,000 cops and they just keep hiring cops. But it's like, yeah, man. And I think that's where we're at. I think the population overload, okay, this is what I think. I think that too many people are applying for the cool jobs
mm.
and then no one wants to do the shit jobs.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to work on Saturday night.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like everybody wants the cool job. And other than being a pro athlete, and being a actor, music is the thing. And it's yeah. just like, everybody wants to try it. So it's like you try it and either you get discouraged and you go away or you become a lifer and it becomes your life. But then the dilemma becomes, how do I exist?
Right.
And that's, I think, where like people like us, we're blessed. But at times I've gone through so many waves of that. Like, dude, so poor. I mean, dude, I owe so many people so much.
Mm.
That have gotten me to where I am, man. Like, people have literally, like, I've literally been like, God loves me so much, man. I literally be like, I'm starving here's 20 bucks. Mm. Here, I got this. Like, I'll be like, I've starved in years ago, and I'm like, just starving. And then just like two people want to buy a CD. You right. know what I mean? And I'm like, 20 bucks, that'll get me to the supermarket. You know, yeah. It's like literally, you know, that kind of shit. And it's like, and, you know, I think that when you're talented, though, for people like us, we know how to have work.
Right.
But then again, man, like, are we really being appreciated by the populace, or are we just eking by? That question, like, it's not that I don't want to answer it. I just want to please the people that are my frequency level. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at now. After 25 years, I have X amount of people all over this world that are in tune with me, are in my frequency. When I say something, they understand me.
Right.
And I want to cater to them instead of spending my life tap dancing to try to get more people. I used to be that guy, like, hey, everybody, look at me. Hey, guys, you know, want to put my foot in this industry. Nah, I don't really want to do that anymore. I just want to cater to the beautiful people that give a fuck about me. And we all have a common world. And it's about creating your universe and flourishing in your universe where you're loved and you love people and you love, like, anybody that doesn't love me is a zombie to me. Mm. If you don't love me or support me or are positive, you're a fucking zombie, and I'll just bump right into you and keep moving. Like, you don't exist. On my social media, the moment you say anything negative, you're gone.
Yeah, blocked.
Bus driver sucks. Block. Elemental. So fuck you. Anything negative,
right?
Fucking blocked. And so I just try to remove that shit and try to, like,
same thing.
I try to mind fuck myself into existing in a universe where I fuck with the people that care. Last night I played a small show in Diego, and it was like, you know, handfuls of people, maybe like 70 people. And it was like, do you still give a fuck about this shit? Do you fucking love? And I just fucking did my thing, and it was like, you know, 40 of them were like, that was the dopest shit I've seen. And everybody else was just there. And it was just like, there's still, I walked away like, 40 people care, man. Like, right here, this moment, I connected with 40 people in a way that was real dope. I mean, they're like, man, fuck this city. You know, this should be crack. You know, I'm like, dude, we're cool.
Let people know where they can find you, man. Where can they dial into you on the social media and all that?
Let me see. Well, you know what? If they want to listen to my music, if you actually want to pay attention to my music, you can go on tumexbandcamp.com. And I've got a good, like, 40% representation of my stuff on there. There's a bunch of great records on there. I've got a new little comp called Cartoon Boyfriend that I'm really proud of. That's dope. And there's a lot of music on there, so check that out. TumexBandcamp.com. Also, I'm on Instagram, TumexOMD, 2MEXOMD, a Mexican descent. That's my handle. You can find me on Twitter, Tumex, and I'm trying to throw, like, festivals and shit.
Do it, man.
Oh, man, I'm with
it. Best of fortune to everything, man. Oh. Thanks for taking this time and talking to the people.
I love you, man. You're a true artist, man. And
appreciate you, man.
Dude, listen to some people out there, man. My music's really, really dope.
It's super dope.
And you should check it out, man. You might fall into a new vice. So check it out.
All right.